there is a word coming out of Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. In that passage, the word of God says, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima was organized by my father in May of 1955. As the organizing pastor, the standard benediction given by him to the congregation of Calvary for many years was taken from Numbers chapter 6. Remember, the purpose of the benediction is to impart a blessing upon the worshipers. Often we miss a blessing by leaving before the minister gives the benediction. Listen to the words that form the priestly blessing given to Aaron and his son. Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The intent of this benediction is to bless the people of God. It says the Lord bless you and keep you. On the one hand, God provides all things for his chosen ones. On the other hand, he keeps guard and protects them from the enemy who would deprive them of good. So the benediction said, God, I want you to bless your people, hallelujah, and I want you to keep them. That's what I want. And you ought not leave the time of worship before the benediction, because the benediction is a blessing for you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. As you exit the sanctuary, I want the Lord to bless you, hallelujah, and I want the Lord to keep you. And then it says, the Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. A typical Hebrew expression. When a man's face shines, according to Proverbs 16:15, he is filled with happiness. In Proverbs 16:15, it says, and in the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. But when his face gathers blackness, it is evident that evil and despair have gripped his soul, according to Joel chapter 2, verse 6. And in Joel chapter 2, verse 6, it said, before them, the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of color. So the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. When God smiles on you, it'll lift your spirit. When God smiles upon you, it'll lift up your head from a downward position to an upward glowing position. Oh yeah, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And then it says, and give you peace. The Old Testament Hebrew word shalom, meaning peace, is a comprehensive word, including the concept of completeness, security, health, tranquility, contentment, friendship, and peace with God and man. It is this peace that God shall usher into his church. His church is we recognize God is a God of peace, and Jesus' church is a church of peace. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. True peace must be the good kind of peace. It must be the peace that comes because you know and are in the will of God. John chapter 14:27, the Lord Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When we have the peace of God, we will have the peace with each other. When we're at peace with God, worship becomes automatic because God becomes the center of our worship activities. When we worship the Lord, we are expressing to him how much he is worth to us. John chapter 4, verse 24 declares God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Here at Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima, the vision for our ministry is that everything we do leads to worship. And the foundational text for that vision is God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. There are two basic concepts or two basic truths contained in the Lord's statement about worship. He said it must be in spirit and in truth. In spirit includes three things about the center of worship. Number one, worship can and should take place anywhere and everywhere, since spirit is not confined to a particular place or time. Secondly, worship comes from man's spirit. It is not merely something that is done on the surface. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 declares, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hallelujah, somebody. True worship, my beloved listeners, is a person-to-person experience, honoring with our spirit God who was revealed through the Lord Jesus at all times and in all places. In truth, the Bible said we must worship him in spirit and in truth. In truth means that the character of true worship must be genuine and without pretense. When we come to God, we must be genuine. God hates insincere worship. Fake worship is that which is not in accord with the revealed word of God. Therefore, to worship in truth necessitates a growing knowledge of God's word, which also increases our appreciation for the worth of the God we worship. All of those who profess to love God more than life itself, yet fail to experience God in both corporate and private worship, are really demonstrated God's real worth in their lives. God must be first. God must be last. In our lives, my beloved, God must be Alpha and God must be Omega. Let me repeat that. All of those who profess to love God more than life itself, yet fail to experience God in both corporate and private worship, are really demonstrating God's real worth in their lives. Because when God is real in your life, he must, my beloved, be first and last. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Since he is first anyway, we should make every attempt to make him first in our lives. This seems to have been Israel's problem, making the one who was the object of their worship first. Through our study of the Old Testament, we are aware that the Israelites, God's chosen people, had been disobedient to God, and God had told them that he would use their rivals to bring them back to him. The northern kingdom came to an end in 722 BC when the Assyrians destroyed the capital city, Samaria. The southern kingdom fell to the Babylonians in 587 BC. Throughout the divided kingdom, God used the prophets to preach warning of God's impending judgment. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers of the prophets, or to the fathers by the prophets, God would uproot them from their land and replant them on foreign soil. God's chosen people had sinned, and the Lord had brought the Babylonians to crush the nation and tear her people away from the promised land. In a series of deportations, the Hebrews had been taken to far-off Babylon. There, they were well-treated. They had their own homes, went into businesses, retained their customs, many of the luxuries they had lived for in Palestine were theirs in Babylon too. This was not like the persecution experience in Egypt. It was not oppression that worked on these exiles. It was the separation from their homeland. But for many of the Jews, it just wasn't the same. A deep longing grew for the land they had left and for the worship of Jehovah that they had discounted. For some, at least, the realization grew that the intangibles were in fact the values on which one's life must be based. The historical background of the prophecy of Haggai has to do with the defeat of Judah in the southern kingdom and the deportation of the Jews to Babylon. My God, I just want you to know that God will restore his peace to his people. Even in the midst of our trials and our tribulation, God is a God of victory. God is not a God of defeat. God is a God of victory. And I want to remind you that the glory of what God has for us now, if we're walking in the Spirit, will be greater than what we have experienced in the past. I know you're looking back on your life and you're remembering days of that gone by, and you may be saying to yourself, my God, those were the good old days. Well, those may have been the good old days, but the day that you're living in now, one day will be the good old days. What I'm trying to say to us is the same thing the prophet Haggai said to the people of God. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Whatever your life is all about, no matter what you've done yesterday, if you will walk in the Spirit, if you will walk in the things of God, if you will open your lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, your life today, oh hallelujah, will be far better than your life was on yesterday. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will desire the things of God. You will desire to worship God in spirit and in truth. You will desire, hallelujah, to receive the glow of a benediction. When the minister stands before you as you exit the sanctuary and says to the God, bless your people going in and going out. Bless your people. May the Lord watch over you. May the Lord protect you. May the glory of the Lord fill your house, fill your bodily temple, fill your home, fill the place where you worship. Oh God, when God fills your life, I declare without a shadow of a doubt, the glory, hey, of God's filling today will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And God will give you peace. Peace from confusion. Peace from ups and the ups and downs of life. God said, I will give you peace. And he is a God that cannot lie. They call him Jehovah Shalom because he is the God of peace. I don't know about you, my beloved. In my life, I've been through some trials and tribulations. I've been through some hills and some valleys of pain. But I've discovered that Jehovah Shalom can speak peace into my miserable state. He'll speak peace into the pains in my body. He'll speak peace into the bad news of the physician. He's a God of peace. And no matter what you're going through, the God of peace will lift you up, turn you around, and set your feet on solid ground. God bless you today. God bless you. Let there be peace in your temple. Let there be peace in the house of God. Amen.